Let's pray. Oh Lord God, this is your holy, inerrant, eternal, written word. Bless thou the one who speaks and the one. Bless thou the one who speaks and the one who hears with your word, O Lord God. We are your servants. Give us understanding that we might know your testimonies. You have prayed, O Lord God, sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. Use your word this hour to set us apart for your service and your glory. By your holy, inerrant word, O Lord God, draw us near to the Savior. Prepare the hearts of all who hear. Let not your word fall upon fallow ground. Let your word instead be to us the sword of the Spirit. Cut this hour to the dividing point of soul and spirit, bone and marrow. Judge now the thoughts and intentions of our heart, O Lord God. Let not your word go out in return void, but accomplish that purpose for which you are sending it out and for which you have called us together. O Lord, teach us that narrow way in which we should walk. Make your word to us the light to our path and a lamp to our feet. As we run in the paths of your commandments, O Lord, enlarge now our hearts. We have come to feed spiritually upon the banquet table of your holy word, O Lord God. Give us the heart of the prophet who said, "Thy words were found and I did eat them, and thy words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." As we gaze into the holy mirror of your written word, let us not be forgetful listeners, but effectual doers. Let us not be foolish, Lord, but help us to understand what the will of the Lord is. Because of our fealty to you, because of our undying love and devotion to you, our risen Savior, we pledge both our submission and our unquestioning obedience to your holy, eternal, inerrant, written word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
The Word of God is the sole source of doctrine. Ben, would you come up here for a minute, please? If you don't have one of these, you need one. What's this called? What is this called, patience? This is a verse pack. And what goes in it? Yes, verses go in there. And as a result of memorizing these verses, you can speak with authority. Are you a prophet, Ben?
No.
Are you the son of a prophet?
No.
No. Are you a pastor?
No.
Are you ordained?
No.
Okay. You're an engineer, is that right?
Barely.
Yeah, barely. Yeah. But you are clothed and in your right mind. Yes.
I'm clothed.
You're clothed. Okay. Ben, I hear a lot of people, you know, some of them call them Bible thumpers. They make a big deal about the Word of God as if it's originated from God, as if it's inspired or something. Does the Bible say anything about that?
Actually, it does. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, it says, "For the Word of God is alive and active, and sharper." Sorry, that's Hebrews 4:12.
Yeah.
For the Word of God,
all Scripture
is inspired.
They're going to help you, Ben. All Scripture.
All Scripture.
Is all Scripture inspired?
Yeah, it's given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
Yeah, but I
that the man of God might be thoroughly equipped unto all good works.
That's motivating. But haven't over the years the Scripture been broken? Hasn't there been a lot of changes made?
Actually, John 10:35 says the Scripture cannot be broken.
Now, are you making the claim of perfection for the Bible then?
I'm not. The Word does.
Now, where does it say that?
Well, it says in Psalm 19, verse 7, it says the Word of God is perfect, restoring the soul. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes.
Well, does that mean that it endures forever? Because that sounds like a fearful thing. if the word of the Lord endures forever?
Actually, it does. The Psalm 19:9 says, the word of the Lord, the fear of the Lord endures forever. And His judgments are everlasting.
Well, that sounds like if we were going to use God's word in our teaching and preaching, that God's word would do its own work.
Yes, it would.
Does the Bible say anything about that?
I already mentioned that once. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is alive and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, severing unto the joints and marrow, and soul and the spirit, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
So in other words, the word of God will set us apart
to
God.
Yes.
Does the Bible speak to that?
Yes, it does. In John 17:17, it says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth.
But to me, it sounds like to me the Bible is just a matter of our own interpretation.
Actually, it's not. It says in 2 Peter 1:20-21, that know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever given as an act of human will, but by men moved by the Spirit spoke from God.
So what's the implication if we reject this? Are we simply rejecting man?
No, you're rejecting God. Because it says in 1 Thessalonians 4:8, for he who does not receive this is not rejecting man, but the God who sent His Holy Spirit to you.
So, we live in a dark and dying world. How can we find our way along the paths of life if it's so dark?
There's a lamp we can go by. In Psalm 119:105, it says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path.
Well, we may be able to see this, but there will be spiritual attacks all around us. What is our protection?
Well, you can have a helmet and a sword. And in Ephesians 6:17, it says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
So, what kind of assurance do I have? Has God said anything about the assurance that we can have that the word of God will always be with us? Or is it going to fade away?
It'll be with us forever. In Isaiah 55:11, it says, so will my word be, which goes forth from my mouth, that it may not return empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it.
Well, that gives me great confidence. You know, that's motivating me to spend time in the Word of God. In fact, it almost sounds like spiritual food. Does the Word of God say anything like that?
Yes, it does. In Jeremiah 15:16, it says, Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by Thy name, O Lord God of hosts.
Well, this causes me to want to thank God. You know, just to receive the word from God, not from man. Am I tracking Scripture? Is there anything in the Bible that talks about that?
You're actually getting pretty close. It says in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, it says, For this reason we also constantly thank God, that when you received the word which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a word of man, but for what it truly is, a word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe.
Well, thank you, Benton. You've really cleared up a lot of questions.
All right.
If you turn the discipleship ministry of your church over to Joffrey and Benson, your average layman in your church, when confronted in his office, in his school, on the street, in his day-to-day crucible of life, will be able to respond with the same confidence. Not, I know the Bible says somewhere that a book I read once said, I went to a conference one time, a long time ago, it said something like, instead, they will say, like Ben did. Actually, God's word says, and then out comes the living, eternal, inerrant, holy word of God. So let me encourage you as the conference continues today to pull Dr. McCallaway or Benson or Joffrey aside and talk to them about a discipleship program centered upon the word of God in your church or ministry. Let me encourage you to do that. we are looking now in the second lecture at the sole source of sound doctrine. We looked in the first lecture at the imperative of sound doctrine. It's not optional. In fact, if it's not a source of nourishment in your life, it's the indication of a problem, isn't it? Well, the Word of God is the sole source of doctrine. I've taught that first lecture and received very little attention from my audience. But then comes the question, where are we going to come up with the doctrines which are going to shape our lives and our ministry upon which we are going to feed? Well, one place we're not going to go is demons. Did we all decide that last hour? So you go into a Christian bookstore and you see a book by Brother Hezekiah and it's all the things he learned from demons, what are you going to do? You're going to walk away. You turn on the radio and it's Brother Hezekiah and his Holy Ghost crusade and he's got these demons talking and he's telling you all the things he learned from demons, what are you going to do? Turn it off. And you're in a Bible conference and Brother Hezekiah comes up and he's going to teach you about demons. And instead of taking you from verse to verse to verse to verse in the Bible, he begins talking to you about all the demons he's talked to and all the things they've talked to him about. What are you going to do? You're going to get up and walk out, aren't you? You're going to get up and walk out. You see, God is not what we believe. By faith, we believe what God is as revealed in His holy, eternal, inerrant, written Word. Isn't that true? God's will is not what we believe. We do not place our faith in our belief. If we just believe something hard enough, correctly, then it becomes God's will. No. God's will is not what we believe. By faith, we believe God's will as revealed in His holy, eternal, inerrant, written Word. I believe Vincent is going to China. Are you going to China?
No.
But I believe it. So if I believe harder, will you go to China? What if I stay up all night fasting and praying and crawling around on my hands and knees? Will you go to China? No. What I believe about Benson's will has nothing to do with his will. What we believe about God's will has no less impact on God. God's will is not what we believe. By faith in the holy, eternal, inerrant Word of God, we believe God's will. By faith, God does not do our will. By faith in Jesus Christ and God's will as revealed in His Word, we do His will. By a word of faith, God does not get up off His throne in heaven and run hither and thither doing our will because we know the magic word. No. By faith in Jesus Christ and God's holy, inerrant, eternal Word, we get up out of our pews and we go here and there doing His will. Big difference, isn't it? By a word of faith, we don't tell God what to do. This is the Word of God. And by faith, we submit to it unquestioningly as He tells us what to do. That is what we are about. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "For all Scripture is inspired by God. It is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness." It is inspired. The Greek word there means God breathed. It's as if in the morning, when you are having your quiet time, and you have your cup of tea there, and the light is on, and you have your Bible open, and you're reading, it's as if you can feel the breath of God upon your cheeks as He speaks to you from His holy word. Moses came down from Mount Sinai and he said, we have good news. God speaks, yet we live. God speaks, yet we live. We should not take for granted His holy, eternal, inerrant, written word. We should not take. It is inspired. That is its very nature. It is an imbued attribute which God has given it. Not only that, it is profitable for teaching. Or those of you with the King James, it is profitable for doctrine. I had a Baptist for my roommate in college, and I asked him why he used the King James, and he told me if it was good enough for Paul, it's good enough for him. So, that word teaching, the literal translation is doctrine. Doctrine. It is profitable for teaching doctrine. If there were no other recourses in life, the Word of God would be sufficient for us. That's all we need. Not only that, it is complete. The Word of God is inspired, it is profitable or sufficient for us, and complete. We have it from the beginning to the end. Revelation 22, 18 through 21 commands us, first, you do not add to this book. Second, you do not take away from this book. Third, the Lord is coming quickly. Lastly, the grace of Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So be it. That's all we need. The Word of God is not an inspired word from God. It's not like Paul had a word from God for us, and John had a word from God for us, and now Larry, he's going to stand up. I've got a word from God for you. No, the Word of God is the Word of God, not a Word of God. That's what the Bible is. It is the Word of God. And if you add more words from God, what have you done to the Bible? You've added to them. And that's forbidden. Or if something you say takes away from the Word of God, what have you done? You've changed it. And that's forbidden. Isn't it? The Word, the Bible, is not a profitable word from God. It is the profitable Word from God. The Word of God is not one of the inspired spiritual messages God has for the church. It is the inspired, inerrant, eternal Word of God for the church age. It is final. This is opposed by the world, the flesh, the devil, at every point and from every conceivable angle. Satan will say, take up anything for the spiritual battle but the sword of the Spirit. Take up the battle axe of prophecy, take up the war mace of signs, take up the javelin of wonders, take up the war club of visions and dreams, take up anything. But don't consistently pick up and take with you the inspired, eternal, inerrant Word of God. Don't memorize it. Don't meditate on it. Don't study. Don't read it through every year. Don't do that. In fact, Udabong Edemeter of Lagos, Nigeria, currently a missionary in South Africa, he made a comment to me. He said, well, you know what, John? Satan not only is fearful that you'll take up the Word of God, he'll even supply you with other weapons. And you can use these to cast out demons. Isn't that true? Didn't Jesus Christ say that? Say, didn't we perform miracles? Didn't we cast out demons? Didn't we call you Lord, Lord? But what did Jesus say to them? Because where is Jesus Christ known? What is the only source? Where do we go to know God's will and to know Jesus Christ? Where do we go? The Word of God. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. You see, there are a lot of different views of Scripture. Many of them are erroneous. It is important for us, when we go into our workshops to learn sound doctrine, when God takes us back to that first love, the great doctrines of salvation. Christ, the center of our life, from which springs the Word, prayer, witnessing, and fellowship, as spiritual disciplines manifesting the Lordship of Christ, that we are all on the same dime. And yet, Satan wants just the opposite to happen, doesn't he? Let's not argue about who Jesus is. Let's not argue about all that dry doctrinal stuff. Let's get on with works and disciplines. But no, it begins with Jesus Christ. See, cults will say the Word of God is understood and interpreted by our new religion. That's what cults. You know, for the Mormons, the Bible is fine, isn't it? As long as it's subservient to the Book of Mormon. To Islam, Jesus is a great guy, isn't he? As long as he is subservient to Muhammad. But we know that's not true. The Word of God is not understood and interpreted by any religion, is it? Acts 4:12. For there is no other name given among men under heaven by which you may be saved. We make the exclusive claim of both salvation and revelation. They go hand in hand, don't they? They go hand in hand. Jesus Christ said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. The Word of God is not understood in the light of any other religions. They are all wrong and we're right. You say, John, you're not really saying everybody else in the world is wrong and you're right. And I'll say, no. I'm not saying that. I'm saying everyone else in the world is wrong and God, the Holy Spirit, is right. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Well, at the next level down, we have what I call apostolic or patriarchal Christians. They say the Word of God is understood and interpreted in the light of ongoing apostolic authority. In the Catholic Church, why do priests not marry? Why is that? The Word of God speaks very solemnly on this subject. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. Now, there's the Trinity, isn't it? Who's speaking? God to whom? Holy Spirit. Who is he calling to mind? The Father and the Son, isn't he? Who is to judge the living and the dead by his appearing and his kingdom? That we are to preach what? The Word of God. Solely the Word of God, aren't we? 2 Timothy 4:1-2. Then he says in 1 Timothy 4, but the Spirit, and now we have the Holy Spirit speaking to us, but the Spirit explicitly says in latter times, some will fall away from the faith, and they will pay attention to what? Deceiving spirits, doctrines of demons, by means of hypocrisy, they will be liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. Is this a good thing? No. Men who forbid marriage. God the Holy Spirit prophesied that there would come an age when men in the church would forbid ministers to marry. And in his book, written specifically with ministers in mind, he says those are doctrines of demons, aren't they? And yet, there are churches who feel that the Word of God is understood and interpreted by apostolic authority. So why do priests not marry? Because a pope had a word from God, didn't he? Didn't the Pope have a word from God? And what was the word? The priest shouldn't marry. Should he? Should they? Church fathers. Councils of bishops. Romans 1 says that homosexuality is an abomination, isn't it? And yet a council of bishops in the Anglican Church has said that not only can you be a homosexual, but you can be a homosexual priest, can't you? Now, why do they think they can say that? It's because they believe that they have patriarchal authority. That is, the council of bishops, the Word of God, is an understood and interpreted by their church council, by their authority, don't they? They have a word for God from us, don't they? But is it from God? It's a deceiving spirit, isn't it? We're not saying these weren't spiritual movements. They're just not the Word of God. By what do we judge them? Our feelings? The Word of God. Well, we've all had a good time here. We've attacked the Catholics and the Anglicans, and we're all feeling pretty good about ourselves, don't we? Then a Pentecostal or a charismatic comes along and says that he was casting out demons, and the demon of greed spoke to him and told him this, and then the demon of blindness told him that, and that you have the demon of Jezebel, and you have the spirit of poverty that needs to be cast out, and these demons are talking to them, and they do this whole hierarchy, and none of that is in the Bible, and you laugh it up, don't you? But you're no different. When somebody says they have a word of God, whether it's forbidding priests to marry, or if it's ordaining priests, or if it's some priest or pastor passing on the doctrines of demons, the word of God is not understood and interpreted by some man who claims to have a word from God. Somebody says they have a word from God, they need to quote the chapter and verse. If they're too lazy to memorize the Bible, let them keep silent in church. Evangelicals are pretty excited now. We've attacked the Catholics, the Anglicans, the Pentecostals, and the Charismatics. So all the Presbyterians and the Baptists, they're sitting pretty good now. They think, yeah, I knew I made the right decision when I got it. And then they sit by idly. And Brother Hezekiah stands up and says, during my operation I died. And I went down to heaven, up to heaven, or I went down to hell. And I saw this or that. And now I'm coming back to talk to you about it. And not only do we lap it up, but we make sure we take the double offering that night. Because we know the place will be filled. Even though the Word of God says in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed once for a man to die, and then comes judgment. And if Brother Hezekiah had died, he would have stood before the judgment seat of Christ and entered eternity, and he would never be seen from again until your death or the rapture of the saints. Why? Why? And if you believe that Brother Hezekiah went to heaven, then you've got to allow the Anglicans to ordain homosexual priests, and you've got to allow the Catholics to forbid your pastor from marrying, and you've got to allow the Pentecostals and Charismatics to get chummy with demons. Right? It's all the Word of God. And we apply it equally to all spiritual experiences. Apostolic Christians do not have authority over the Word of God, whether that apostle is a pope, whether that apostle is a bishop, whether that supposed apostle is simply a brother or sister in the church. They do not have authority over the written Word of God. We judge them by the Word of God. And we silence them by the Word of God. It is appointed for men to die once. And after that comes judgment. You say, Brother John, but good luck, Kurt. Brother Hezekiah went to heaven, and he saw all these things in heaven, and he came back. And then we gave an invitation, and somebody came to Christ. Really, so that justifies his teaching, does it? When I was in high school, I had a friend who was involved in an accident by a drunk driver. And it caused him to begin reflecting on his life. He ended up entering the ministry. One of the other boys in the car received Christ as a result of this. So that certainly justifies drunk driving, doesn't it? Was he hit by a drunk driver? Did he enter the ministry? Did someone come to Christ? Well, Wednesday night, we're going to have drunk driving evangelism night. We'll have these tables all set up with vodka and rum and beer. We're all going to get tanked up and get in our cars and go out and do evangelism. Why do people receive Christ? Because God is good, isn't it? Not by works. That's why people receive Christ, because God is good. We have a drought in Kenya. The Muslims pray for rain, won't they?
And the Hindus pray for rain, won't they? And the Baptists will pray for rain, won't they? And the Catholics will pray for rain, won't they? And out in the village, the followers of cults will chop up chickens and scatter blood and call and pray to rocks and pray to rain, won't they? And will it rain? Yes, because of God's promise to Noah, won't it? Until Christ's return, there will always be seasons. There will always be the rainbow in the sky. And who will it rain upon? Because God is good, right? God is good. And that's why people receive Christ, and that's why it rains, and that's why God preserves the unjust and delays the return of Christ. That none should perish, but so all should come to repentance. Because God is good. But God's holy, inerrant, eternal word remains authoritative until Christ's return. In all these cases, Satan is trying to cloud the issue, isn't he? And generally, we can come back to the winds of doctrine, can't we? It's in either immorality, or numbers, or money, isn't it? You want to have a conference in which you study the elect angels, the fallen angels, and heaven and hell, and you announce, now here are the scripture memory passages that we'll be memorizing, and here's the Bible study preparation. Take about 30 minutes every night, and bring your Bibles, and we'll be going into the Greek and the Hebrew, and we are going to spend time going deep into the doctrine of the Word of God. And over here in the tent is Brother Hezekiah, and he's seen angels, and he's seen demons, and he's been to heaven, and he's been to hell, and he's going to give you the good stuff, isn't he? Now, where are you going to be? Where are you going to be? We are ministers and stewards of the Word of God, not of the spectacular. We reject any new information that adds to or takes away from the divine revelation of God. We reject any information which causes the holder of the Bible to have incomplete knowledge. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord. The things revealed belong to man and to all his generations. If Brother Hezekiah claims he went to heaven, and he can tell you something that he saw in heaven or he saw in hell that is not a chapter and verse in the Bible, Brother Hezekiah is lying. He may be lying for your money. He may be lying for your numbers. He may be lying for immorality, or he may simply be deceived and lying. That happens. Nevertheless, we do not subject the Word of God to Brother Hezekiah. Brother Hezekiah subjects himself to the Word of God. Isn't that true? Hebrews 4:12. If we want to know about Jesus, heaven, hell, salvation, angels, demons, where do we go? To the holy, eternal, inerrant, written Word of God. That's where we go. Vincent, come up here. Brother Hezekiah says, oh, but Jesus appeared to me. Oh, really? Jesus appeared to you? I have a question for you. William, brother, sir, give me 5 facial characteristics that distinguish me and Vincent. Before I shaved off my mustache, we were often mistaken for each other. The first is mustache. What else?
Color?
Okay. What else?
Hair.
Oh, hair! Yes! I love doing that. Okay, what else? Ah, yes! I'm more prosperous. He has that lean and hungry look. Yeah, thank you. Hey, yes! Thank you. So, William gives it the color of our eyes, our color of our build, the color of our face, our nose, our hair. Very easy, can't he? Okay? Brother William, stand back up. Benson, come here, please. Turn around, please. Now, one of us is going to say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Who spoke? Me or Bishop? Yeah, that's right. Now, have a seat, William. If William hears a voice, he knows it's mine or Benson, because he knows what? Our voices. If Benson sees something, me or William, or if William sees me or Benson, he knows, because he knows what we look like, doesn't he? Give me the five facial characteristics that distinguish Jesus Christ from Satan. Give them to me. Give them. Right now. Five facial characteristics. They distinguish me from Jesus from Satan. What are they? You don't know, do you? Give me the tone of voice that distinguishes the tone of Jesus' voice from that of Satan. Give it to me. You don't know, do you? So you don't know who said it or what it was, do you? Well, you do not know if Mary, the mother of Jesus, appeared to you, or the demon goddess Aphrodite. You don't know. And you don't know that it was Jesus Christ or some demon apparition, do you? And when you had that dream, you don't know if that was Jesus or an angel or Satan himself or one of his demonic lackeys, do you? You do not know, because you're not that spiritual. You don't know. But you do know the Word of God, don't you? And that's where we go. I have a friend who's an engineer, and he showed me a picture that had been taken, and he said it was a picture of Jesus. A priest had been flying over the Alps to see the Pope and was taking pictures. And if you looked at the picture, it was white and black and some shadows, and you could see kind of a long-haired man with a beard in there. And I said, that's not a picture of Jesus, it's a picture of Judas. And he said, really? And I said, yes. And he said, what does Judas look like? And I said, what does Jesus look like? And he took it and just threw it on the ground and continued with his scripture memory. This is the only revelation. Brother Hezekiah did not see Jesus, and he did not go to heaven, hell or heaven. And Jesus did not appear to him. Because Hebrews 9:27 says it is appointed for men to die once, and that comes judgment. And Hebrews 9:28 says that Jesus Christ will appear a second time for those who are eagerly awaiting him. And all experience apostolic is subject to the holy and inerrant Word of God. We wait for the appearance of Christ, not the 100th appearance. God does not send his Son to wait upon us for personal audiences. We labor hard in the ministry, teaching and preaching the Word of as stewards of God, as we wait upon our King's return. We do not send him running hither and there, nor do we call him. And does he appear to us personally? We wait upon him. He does not wait upon us. The Word of God is not subject to apostolic authority. All authority is judged and subject to the Word of God. How many of you have the words of Jesus in your Bible in red? You do? Okay, good. That is because in certain Baptist denominations, and in the Christian church, and in the Church of Christ, they have this doctrinal statement. The Word of God is understood and interpreted by the words of Jesus. Now that, you know, what did Jesus say? That doesn't seem like a bad statement, does it? So you're sitting around, and your brother in the Anglican church is making a claim that homosexuals, are, as long as they're celibate, should be ordained for the ministry. and then you take them to Romans. Somebody else takes them to Leviticus. They say, well, that's Paul, that's Moses. What did Jesus say about homosexuality? What would be the answer? And then what will they say? If Jesus was silent, who are we to speak? Right? The Word of God is not understood and interpreted by the words of Jesus, because we do not pit God the Son against God the Father and against God the Holy Spirit. The words of Jesus are in red, then put all the words of God the Father in blue, put the words of God the Holy Spirit in green. Oh, I have a better idea. Let's just use black ink. Jesus didn't write anything in the Bible. The only reason we know anything that Jesus said during his lifetime is because of God the Holy Spirit. Because all Scripture is inspired by God. And the definition of inspiration is that men moved by the Spirit of God spoke as from God. God the Father, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. That's authoritative. God the Son, for there is no other name given among men. God the Son, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That's authoritative. God the Holy Spirit. There is no other name given among men under heaven by which we may be saved. God. Those are all three the eternal, inerrant, holy, written Word of God. They all have equal authority. Well, we go down to the next level. These are conceptual Christians. The Word of God is understood and interpreted by strongly held convictions or concepts or philosophies. I was teaching an evangelism class in a church, and I was going to present a whole list of evangelism topics, and the elders of that church said, first of all, we are going to take public proclamation off the table. Don't plan on sending any of our elders, deacons, members, or pastors out street preaching. We'll just take that off the table. Because they have a strong personal conviction that it's embarrassing, it's no longer effectual, so they just take it off the table. I'll be teaching on doctrine at the church, and the deacons or the elders will say, well, you can teach doctrine, but don't mention election or predestination. Just take that off the table. Speaking on creationism, well, don't mention 7 days. We take that, so that we just... No. We submit our convictions, our prejudices, our perceptions. What do we submit that to? The Word of God. The Word of God is not understood and interpreted by our understanding of science or sociology or culture or anthropology or anything else. Evangelical mystics say the Word of God is understood and interpreted by my experience. I'll be teaching on the Holy Spirit or on some other topic, and they'll say, John, I can't quote the Word of God like you can. I haven't studied the Bible like you can. I haven't read through the Bible like you have, but I know what I've experienced. You can't take that away from me. And I say, if you can't quote the Word of God, if you haven't studied the Word of God, if you're not reading the Bible through, you have no idea what you've experienced. Because we are not mystics. Mystical experiences, apparitions, miracles, spiritual events, they are judged by the holy, inerrant Word of God. And we don't accept something as true or false based on the fact that it was a spiritual or mystical event. We judge it as true or false based on its conformity or lack of conformity to the holy, inerrant, eternal Word of God. Evangelical pragmatists will say to me, well, John, what you're saying is just not pragmatic. At one time we were able to do this, Paul's age. We hope in the future we'll be able to do this, but right now we just have to be pragmatic. If we were to teach and conform exclusively to the Word of God in this area, homosexuality, women, marriage, spanking, doctrine, you name it, in this area, people won't come. We just have to be pragmatic. The Word of God is not understood and interpreted by pragmatic results. Results are understood and interpreted by the Word of God. That brings us to what the Bible says about itself. The Word of God is understood and interpreted by the Word of God. It is its own sole authority. People will say, well, that's a circular argument. And I will say, you came up with that idea of circular argument through your study of Greek philosophy, primarily Aristotle and Plato, both of whom were decadent pedophiles and are burning in hell. Don't tell me how to interpret the Word of God, and don't call upon the reasoning of men who are burning in hell to limit me in my understanding and my faith in the Word of God. The Word of God is the Word of God because it says it is the Word of God and needs no other proof. No church council established the canonicity of this book. There are some church councils who thought they did. And there are other church councils who sought to get rid of spurious books. For instance, if somebody came into this meeting with a Book of Mormon, we would say, throw it out, wouldn't we? We aren't claiming that we have authority over what the Word of God is. We're just saying we know what it isn't. But God inspired, oversaw the writing, the assembling, the compilation, and the gifting of His holy, eternal, inerrant Word to the church in the lifetime of the apostles. And it's been with us ever since. And all things in the church are subject to this, including doctrine. We do not judge the Word of God. The Word of God judges us. What is our application? Where do you go to get your Word from God? To priests? Church council? Brother Hezekiah? A vision? A sign? A wonder? Or do you hear, read, study, memorize, and meditate upon the holy, inerrant, written Word of God? Where does your congregation go to get a word from God? You or the Bible? We are stewards of the manifold grace of God. We are stewards of the Word of God. We present it faithfully as hard-working laborers. There is one God and one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. The Word of God is understood and interpreted by the Word of God. We are now going to break and go to our next series of workshops. We are studying the great doctrines of faith as established and taught by the Word of God. Oh Lord God, may God bless the teaching and the preaching of your holy, inerrant, eternal written Word. May God raise up a generation of pastors and leaders and teachers who view themselves not as mediators between God and man, but as stewards, as servants, who clearly present your holy, eternal, written Word to their congregation. May God raise up a congregation of men and women dedicated to hearing, studying, memorizing, and meditating on your Word as they build up the church and evangelize the lost and worship you. In Christ's name we pray them. Thank you. You're dismissed.
Where do we go?
Excellent question. For a show of applause. That's Russell. Good question.
Thank you. It's not secure. Even in the country, didn't it?
Estoy tocando banda.
Slava Bogu.
Oh, thank you, thank you. So, we want to thank you. Now, we all go to our workshop, but maybe let me make a few announcements here. One, that our lunch will be served by 1:15. 1:15. So we want to have full what? Full workshops. I mean, we come not to eat, but for the while, yeah? Yeah, so let's spend a little more time in the overflow.
We can reduce the time for lunch. Instead, we do the reduce so that we have many service points for lunch, so we have more time with the one. Staff hour. Okay, so we want to go to workshops, but as soon as this, as people are here, after,
if you are faster, just stand up and...
Professors,
thank you. You have a second for them. So now, let's go to the workshop. Second workshop. Group one will do security, and Dan will be in charge of that. Dan, could you find it? So Dan is coming somewhere. Yeah, now let me say something about Dan. Dan speaks very few words. He's a man full of wisdom. I know people who have wisdom, they speak very few words. So make sure you get all the words that you're going to speak. Then the second one will be justification by Larry. The third one, peace with God with Aero. And substitution with Mike. Yes. Now, security will be in group one, the conference room. Justification by Larry will be group two, the conference, just the room next to the filling pool. Then peace with God, the tent behind us will be here. And then substitution by Mike will be here. Now we'll talk to you about the workshop in the afternoon. This is the workshop 3 o'clock in the afternoon, but we have a workshop for the pastors to talk their own issues, and ladies. And ladies have two groups there, and also groups have a workshop for men alone. But that will be in the afternoon. So please, we can't wait for the... Unless somebody has a question.
Okay, let's go.
Okay, it's moving.
Horsho. Jean Horsho. You speak Swahili, I'll speak Russian. We'll both smile.
Thank you.
That was great. Good job, Joffrey. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
2 Timothy 3:16 is one of the first verses I ever memorized 30 years ago.
Oh, listen.
It's the first one I forget.
No. You're standing in front of 150 church leaders with a camera pointed at you. You did great. No.
Thank you for you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you did great. All my goals were accomplished. You did great. Just great, sir. You did fantastic. You the man. Everybody in there thought, if he can do that, I can do it. Slava Bogu, you did great. You're world famous.
Thank you.
You'd better ask Joffrey that. Off to our workshops. Doctor, I'll meet you up in your office. Okay.
And?
Sounds like it.
Okay.
Oh, I'm good. All right, however you want.
Unfortunately,
yeah,
I think so.
Okay, I wouldn't want to do that to you, but that's very gracious.
I took two of each.
Ha! I was looking for you. Thank you.
Okay.
Speak to me.
Can you just pray for me or something?
Yes. I'll be glad to.
So natural for me.
That's fine. If it was, I'd be concerned. Lord, I just thank you so much for Errol. I know you've gifted him as a very able communicator. Give him confidence in your Holy Spirit's ability to use any vessel, anywhere, anytime. In Christ's name we pray, amen.
Where are you? Are you over here?
Can you please arrange a cup of water and a bucket?
Yes.
What is that?
Let's see. Let's see.
This Umzungu will not be able to stand in the sun for more than, no, seriously, for more than 50 days. So these four people right there will have to come out, and I'm going to get you a podium and a table.
But we have changed.
You're not here?
It's changed.
Yeah.
Peace of God.
Peace of God.
Yeah. Fine.
Okay. Can these be the switch? Okay.
You're welcome. And I'll get you the water. Andrew, is this Umzungu water?
Yeah, that's Umzungu water.
If I give you this, would you take it over to Arrow in the big tent, please?
Yes, I will. That is Umzungu water.
Yes. Don't want to poison my Finn. His stomach is even more sensitive than American stomach. Exercise. Oh, I'm locked out. Here, I have another set of guts.
Okay.
This is lecture two. Oh, thank you. So where is lecture three? That's the word of God and evangelism.
Yes.
That's that way.
Yes.
Have you finished?
No, not yet.
Okay, do it next, please.
Okay. Oh, this is the one you want next.
Because I have to preach that.
And the other one, the first one?
I've preached it.
Oh, that's a handout.
They're all handouts.
Oh, okay. Fine.
125.
125.
Of everything. So I gave you this. Right? Okay, that's page one. That's 125.
Okay.
Now you need page two. Page three, page four. But you didn't collect them.
No. This is the first page.
Oh, okay.
Of the other one.
Of what other one?
The other one is here.
Okay.
And so.
There's more than one page of that.
This is the one you need next.
I will need this in 1 hour.
Okay. The one.
This is the sound doctrine, yeah. Is the responsibility of every minister.
Okay,
yeah, we'll need that one. And that one. And this one.
Okay.
But don't get them confused, please.
Okay.
Okay. Ed, do you want me to recruit some help for you?
I wouldn't mind.
Okay. I'm sorry. Can you open Dr. McCauley's office? Oh. If you can't, it's all right. No, you go back to copying.
I have to.
That's all right. I'm going to go
It doesn't matter because I'm going to go find some people to help you. You stay here. Is that my Coke or yours? Okay. I'll take the Coke and I'll leave my bag right here.
righteous God, you know. A little to me. Not for that one. What did God do? He decided to bear your worth, bear your guilt, bear your shame.
He's working hard. He's working nonstop. It's just a lot of work. So I got a bit of an Eleanor up here. Okay. Spasiba, Pupé. Pupé de Beto. Okay. Let me get a chair.
I guess it's really not important to straighten them because y'all have to.
Yeah, we'll straighten them for you. Okay. Is it still copying? Okay. Excuse me. Okay. Start. Just crisscross them like this, Pupé. Oh. Each set. 1, 2, 3, 4. No, no. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. Okay. No, put that right like that.
Oh, I get it.
Now do it again. Crisscross. Because the staplers will go quicker.
Now.
And I take the stapler. You just crisscross them.
A piece of paper is about 2,000 of an inch thick. But we can tell the difference between 4 and 3 pages.
Amazing.
Okay. Lupe, I'll meet you. Okay, hey, Benny. Sweetheart, you're just going to meet from now on.
Okay.
This is when a poor quality copier is
out of ammo.
Here. No. Just you have your whole new gun. This is great. Oh, thank you. Keeping them awake. I think they warmed up to me a little more on the second lecture. Okay, we got them right here. Just turn around and grab it. This is 125? Seems like more than 125.
Sure.
I'll get it.
No, it's not doing that. I was reaching
out at
my thumb, just
went off. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, Ben. How do you start sending them back to Ben? And I'll be right back. Thank you.
Demon possessed mullah.
Yeah, but I think good news to tell them to another.
I think she should.
Sweetheart, your last message, and then you have the bridge handout. Do you want those stapled together or separate?
Oh, let's put them together. That's a good idea.
Okay.
Sweetie,
mm-hmm.
When we do, we're going to get the rest of this to be mm-hmm. printed, but when we do staple it, this should be in the very back.
Please.
And you want it stapled right up here at the top, so it's like this.
Oh, that'll be great.
You're waiting on the middle pages. But this one that he's printing now is your third message.
Mm-hmm.
The second one hasn't started yet.
Yeah.
So it's going to take a while.
Yeah.
Get them all printed.
Okay.
At 1:15, I need to go downstairs a little before 1:15. I need to go down and tell Judy that they okayed her. She had offered, a lady had heard about her talk on Boston and wanted to know if she could sit with her at lunch and have her teach there.
Mm-hmm.
And so Stanley and Joffrey said it would be fine to announce that any ladies who wanted to mm-hmm. could do that since she's teaching on submission in the workshop.
Oh, good.
So I just need to go down. She's in Dan's workshop right now. So I just need to go down and tell her so she knows.
Okay.
You know, that, or have, if she has any questions, I'll just let her know. And then I'll come up and help finish.
Okay.
Same with Marty. I want to catch Marty and tell her that she's leaving one. She'll probably know that because I think they're going to announce it, but just in case.
I think that's great, darling. Yeah.
do you want me to get some lunch and bring it up to you?
Pray, please.
Mm-hmm. I used to take a few teaching with all the other workshop leaders. He's looking very nice in front of the GCA board. He looks good in front of that board.
Oh, thank you.
That became my first year.
Good.
You can warn them that if you amen an Mzungu Baptist or Presbyterian, he warms to his subject matter.
I can wonder when that
is. Yes. Post it on the website.
Yeah. It probably takes forever to do it from here.
I just take it.
We can do it overnight. You know? It probably takes an hour, but you go.
Oh, no, no. We'll send the DVD home with one of the teams. And they'll... I'll give him the mailing address and they'll send it with the messages and we'll put it on the website.
Clearly present your holy, eternal, written word to
their congregation. May God raise up a congregation of men and women dedicated to hearing, studying, memorizing, and meditating on your word as they build up the church and evangelize the lost. And worship in Christ and in prayer.
How's it coming, Beppo?
I'm on the last stage.
All good.
So you have to stay for it.
Well, John, you look like a bird of prey overlooking the... you can look down on it.
All right. This is great, Beppo. You're doing a good job.
Tony, how you doing?
I'm okay.
Good to see you.
Good to see you too.
Grab some lunch.
30 minutes?
Grab some lunch.
Okay.
Pastor Billy.
Yes, sir.
At the assembly line, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. These are the separate good. This is actually my message. No? This is my message. This is, I better get this back. Message either. One of them. I sure appreciate this, guys.
You're welcome.
Introduce you to the word. No.
can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was supreme. Oh, the soul is one. Fill my head. Now I've given to Jesus.
How are we doing? All done? Slava Bogo.
Message.
Great.
This is your second message.
Great.
Best one copy. And...
Well, that sound doctrine, the word of God, and evangelism is the third message.
Oh.
So this is the first message, and that's the third message.
I don't know where the second
is. Okay. This goes here. Interesting. So we're missing one. Well, you guys sure don't have to do it. I'll track Beppo down. Responsibility. That's all the same. Sound doctrine, word, and evangelism. That's all the same. Okay.
Now this is a 5-pager, and it seemed to be coherent. I mean, it's,
yeah.
It's supposed to have the 2 statements in one.
Oh, okay. Well, great.
This one is. Actually, I haven't looked at this one.
Yeah, this is right. Sound doctrine.
No, what I'm thinking of, maybe we've got picked up the middle one.
No. Nope.
This looks fine to me.
Yeah.
One, two, three, four. Yep, nope. This is just as it should be.
They granted the automatic collating and stapling.
They sure do.
I took my material to Kinko's, had a copy. The lady was looking at me, what is this? And I said, "This, we're going to Africa to do some missions work." "Oh, really? I'm a Christian." We got talking. And it's funny how we kind of subconsciously disguise our Christianity.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't come out as a natural part of our life.
Yeah.
Until something like that happens, mm-hmm. And we're both surprised.
Yeah, that the other person. You think you're the only prophet? Yeah. And you find out there are 5,000. No, that happens all the time. It happens to me too. Thank you, Benton. Couldn't have done it without you. Grab some lunch.
Give us a few more minutes.
Oh,
the rest
of course. I'm in search of Beppo.
Upe?
Upe. Yes.
You want to talk to me?
No. Okay. All right. It's not that I don't want to talk to you.
Okay.
I'll talk to you.
Привет.
Yes. Привет. Спасибо, Друг.
Hey, yeah.
Hi. Yeah.
Ask your question. Would you say it about that it is appointed for man to die once,
uh-huh.
And after that judgment? So if someone asks you about the case of, let's say, Lazarus.
Okay, that's a good case. What I would say is that when we are as stewards of God's word or teaching God's word, we differentiate between doctrinal revelation and historical revelation.
Mm-hmm.
Historical revelation happened, but it cannot be universalized. Moses parted the Red Sea. That part that happened, but you cannot take from that a doctrine of power over water. That's something that God was doing at the time. So in the time of Christ and the apostles, before the period of the written word was given exclusively to the church, God can do anything he wants to and does. But God is also free to place limits on what happens. And so with the giving of the doctrinal passages on life and death for the church age, God is free to limit those things. For instance, will Jesus Christ come again, born of a virgin? But God could do it. But he's chosen not to do it. He's chosen to limit that. He will never come again, born of a virgin. People will say, well, you just limited God. No, I'm just, God, you know. Well, could God cover the world with water again? With a flood? Well, yeah, well, he could, but he won't. He's chosen to limit himself. Will men be raised from the dead anymore? Well, they will at the resurrection. But now, how God has chosen to work is that men die once. And then they're judged. Then they face judgment.
That people are resurrected.
Well, I know of no case. I know people who say that they were unconscious and went to hell. Did you have a dream last night?
Me?
Yeah.
About him?
About anything?
Yeah.
Was it real? No, it had to happen. Right? Well, you dreamed it, so it must have happened. Right, well, these men are unconscious on the operating table, or they're lying on the ground unconscious, and they have these dreams. So if you get the dream over here, and you get Hebrews 9:27 over here, you choose. The only difference is that dream makes a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, nobody wants to read a book about Hebrews 9:27. You want to read a book about dreams, and about vision, and about angels. There's a lot of money to be made. So no, it's they are the type of spiritist events for which there is no physical test. Plus, they fail the test against the plumb line of the Word of God. But we chase them because man is enamored with spiritism. Ever since Adam and Eve talking with the serpent, man has been enamored with spiritism. Talking with Satan and learning things from Satan. So, good question, Stephen.
Thank you.
For a show of applause. Dupe, when you get through, we still need to copy chapter 2.
Okay.
We've done 1 and 3, right?
1, 3, yeah, chapter.
Yes.
Okay.
You've done 1 and 3, but we still need to do 2.
Yeah, okay.
Okay?
Okay, I'll be up there.
When you get through here,
okay,
we still need to do 2. So Joseph,
yes.
So some people eat and some people don't eat, huh?
I understand there's some more food which is coming.
Oh, okay. I thought I was so spiritual I was fasting. Find out how spiritual I really am.
I would have asked you would have got back.
Yeah. Well, not on purpose.
Very difficult to stay in this environment.
I know, it smells so good.
John.
Hey.
How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Well. Lincoln. Oh, Jenga.
Oh, Jenga. Okay.
Yeah,
Lincoln.
Yeah.
Is your family well?
Yes.
Lincoln, huh?
Yes.
Great name.
My grandfather.
Yeah. One of the former presidents of the U.S.
Yes. Is it you visiting from the U.S.?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Are you the one visiting from the U.S.?
Uh-huh.
Is that where you live?
Yes.
Okay. I've had the privilege of studying in the U.S.
Oh, good.
In the 90s.
Sure.
You used to work in my city.
Really? What school did you go to?
I went to Michigan and Texas.
Okay. University of Texas,
yes.
Or University of Houston?
University of Texas.
Oh, okay.
And Austin.
Oh, yeah. That's where I went to school.
Oh, really? You love it.
Yeah. Let me introduce you to a friend of mine. Huh? Regeneration or degeneration? Did I talk about regeneration? I look like the guy who did. Now you'll have to ask around. Ask this guy. Maybe it was him. Excuse me, just a minute. I put my Bible someplace. I'm going to go find it. Then I'll come back.
Jumbo. Francis. God bless you. How are you? And you are Francis.
My father is good. So you need to change. Because it's only my father is allowed to call John.
Oh, really? Well, you'll have to talk to my father about that.
Yeah, yeah.
But you'll have to wait till you die to do it. Go ahead. I'll take a picture of you talking.
There must be some food.
Nothing will kill a conversation like a camera.
Where do you speak again?
You're going to have lunch, a workshop, and me.
Fun.
I'm a minister of the gospel. Give me your hand. By the authority invested in me by Grace Community International and State of Texas, I forbid you to talk to any white people until this conference is over.
Thank you.
However, I've already given him that dispensation. After the next workshop period. So.
Okay. I just found out I'm under Grace here.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I volunteered you.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. They're gonna, at the workshop period, they're going to have two women's workshops. A pastor's workshop and a men's workshop, and they said, who should teach it? And I said, Dan should teach Grace.
Yeah, I'm glad you did. I just want to make sure I'm finished before it's time for you to.
Oh, don't worry, because I'm teaching in here, too.
Okay, so if I see you walk up,
let's say I have 50 people in here.
Mm-hmm.
So if you see me and about 100 people come walking in here,
it's time to
do your poem and close in prayer.
Right.
Hey, wait, Mike. Stay right there. Oops. Okay, turn back. Face these people right here. Face them. Y'all face each other. All right. That was a great picture. All right. Yeah, just like that. Yeah, you're preaching to the choir. There we go. That's a great preaching to the choir shot. Well, you're very welcome.
Did you eat something?
No rest for the wicked. No, Jemima said, I tried to eat. Jemima said, you get away from that table. Leaders eat last. Just stand over there, take some pictures, make yourself useful. Wash some dishes. I said, okay.
I had a question.
Oh,
of course. Somehow someone got confused when you referenced Brother Hezekiah. I don't know what you were talking about.
Oh,
somebody in Scripture. What the heaven is? What the hell? I thought that was an illustration. It could have been Brother Mike.
I used to do Brother Zechariah, but evidently there's a Zechariah, some preacher or something named. I made up this name like Schombach, but evidently there's one guy, you know.
Hi, Ken.
Hi. So at least Hezekiah didn't write a book of the Bible. Yes, dear. Oh, good.
One half question.
Okay.
What's the journey in being able to memorize Scripture? Because, like, I would, but by the second week, it's gone.
Reviewing.
Okay.
Reviewing. Keep those little verse cards with you, and you just keep reviewing them. When I memorize a verse, I have to review it or re-memorize it every day for months.
Every day. Yeah. I'm looking for the practical academy.
Yeah. Where my wife? Find Eleanor. She is the best scripture memory trainer, helper. Where is that girl? Eleanor!
She might be lost in the
room. Jemima, have you seen Eleanor? No!
Where I will look for her. Tell me your name again.
Eva.
Eva and Eleanor. That should be easy. Okay. Eva's looking for Eleanor. Yeah. I'm not looking for Eleanor, but Eva is.
Excuse me?
Oh, that's... They'll have to find each other.
The request you've had is to keep up with your wife.
That's right. Yeah, I think so too.
Lots of good questions, most of which have nothing to do with what I'm talking about. A lot of questions.
That's right. Megan, when she was here over the summer, had a workshop with about 20 high school girls in it, and she just taught her heart out on daily quiet time. And then she said, are there any questions? And one of the girls raised her hand and said, what are those brown dots on your skin? Okay, those are called fans. Any other questions? Can I touch your hair? I've never touched a white person's hair. Okay, we did that. Sorry. Another question. Why does your skin turn red in the sun? I heard that that happens. Did you? Yes, okay. Now, are there any questions about daily quiet time?
I got a question about when Jesus Christ was baptized on the dove, the Holy Spirit, is that when the Holy Spirit came to dwell in Christ?
Oh, yeah. That's a Pentecostal question.
Yeah.
Because the implications of that are that John the Baptist was more spiritual than Jesus for 30 years.
I said, no, when Jesus was 4 years old and he sat at Mary's table, he spilled his milk. He had the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Okay. The Holy Spirit and Jesus coexisted. God's plan of creation.
Okay? Thank you, Mike.
But also...
See, that's Pentecostal doctrine.
Yeah, but the same man, the Spirit came, man, he would say, why didn't God send your angel to die?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then they went into the whole thing of that, and he said, well, you know, the humanity part of it. Well, he could have given him a body. Because no real
sacrifice is required.
You see, that's when people say, you found all these pastors here, all these, everybody here is in a pastor, a senior pastor, associate pastor, or a home group, home church leader. Everybody's in leadership to be here. They say, why are you going to cover these basic doctrines like substitution? And then you get a question like this from a leader in a church, and you think, we're in the right place, doing the right thing. No, but I can't talk and eat. The line will be down in a minute, and I'll go get in line. Thank you, Jemima.
But at Luz Church, the pastor only set up a board, and he had this line drawn down. We had good lines on one side, bad lines on the other.
Well, really, my concern with not the African navigators, but the U.S. navigators, is that real illustration that says Christ the center is being changed to a table. That they are learning faithfully the spiritual disciplines of word, prayer, witnessing, and fellowship, but in an effort to reach out across denominational lines, the who that center is becomes divisive. And so, it's not, you're not going
to... It's great to be able to hear other things. There are others in the class that volunteered answers that were fit with the answers.
Yeah, yeah. You guys are doing that. We're doing the right thing. Not here.
Question. Man, can I ask you to get in line for my question?
Oh!
If you don't, I'll tell you.
Oh, okay. I'm teachable.
Yeah.
I'm teachable.
You want me to do the testimony?
Yes.
Beginning?
I'm going to call you up.
Again?
Oh. And right at the beginning. I'm going to call you up. Stanley, you've changed.
I have. Your name.
How are you?
Fine.
Is this the line?
Will it be?
Oh, Eleanor. Eva is...
Oh, okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Eva is looking for you to ask you a question about scripture memory.
Okay.
She had braided hair. Eva! All right, Mike, you're the man. Eva, there she is. Sweetheart, this is Eva. This is my darling wife. And she can help you with scripture memory. She's better at it than I am. Yeah. And she has helped hundreds of young women how to successfully memorize Bible. You're right. Oh, you changed back. May I ask you a favor, please? Could you hold my Bible just for a second? I'm getting a series of pictures that more is caught than taught. That's all the interviews and Kenyans interacting. You know, I don't know if she's eaten or not.
She hasn't.
That would be very nice of you. How kind. No. If you're giving something for my wife, I'll let you go first. She'll want white rice and
thank you.
And chicken and vegetables, please. Oh, excuse me, little buddy. I'm sorry.
No, please.
Ladies first. Let's see. White rice, please. That's perfect. Thank you. I want a finger tomato, not a tomato. Thank you. Oh, thank you. See. And then I would like one tomato and one finger tomato. There's my tomato. Do I have a finger tomato? Thank you. And one finger tomato. Thank you. This looks delicious. No, thank you. I'm going to use this gravy. That's better gravy. That's a good stuff. Oh, thank you, madam. God bless you. Stephen asks good questions.
Did he?
Yeah. He's very intelligent. That doesn't surprise me a bit.
Excuse me.
Michael, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks.
Let me introduce you to someone.
All right.
This is Stephen.
Hi, Stephen.
Stephen has a question for you.
Michael Benfield.
Okay. Let me steal you asking the exact same thing you asked me and see if there's any difference. Yeah?
I
have a question. Lupe has two of the three handouts done. Do you think he'll have time during the workshop period to do the third?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to talk with me about the Bibles, or have you already talked to Geoffrey?
I'm indifferent.
You're indifferent. You don't care, right?
The only thing I care about is money and men for God and the power.
I accept the Bible. Can you go upstairs?
Yeah. Only if you want me. Let me get my Bible. Excuse me. I've been snatched by Dr. McCauley. Shall we go, Doctor?
Yeah.
I could even start that out. The reason I couldn't start the copy. Just press the button. I'm getting good workout today.
What's the little question? You put it close down.
But my hands are full. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes. It is. Word of God. This is 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay. How's it? 1, 1, 4.
Okay.
So that one's
good for him.
You can't do that. The market has come to your doorsteps.
Yes.
So you can't do everything else.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's like if you have a line out the door,
mm-hmm.
You don't put out to lunch and then lock the door. You work through lunch.
Yeah. I'm going to say to him, you know, give him a 10% discount. Let us feel like, you know, there was something for him to navigate.
No.
Okay. 6 pastors. Pastor Billy will be among them.
Good.
But Pastor Billy will be honored in the GMLT. So we don't need to feel like he must get a good Bible right now, because he will get one in the GMLT. I saw 6 pastors was to the house.
Mm-hmm.
And Billy was one of them.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
So,
he'll get one of the briefcases with the Bible.
Yes, with
the Bible. Okay.
So, I think we can do it ahead of time to honor him. Ask him to come forward and help you to get that.
stronger.
Yeah, then that way it doesn't feel that tough.
Okay.
Because it's just a new.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we should give this to those pastors.
Okay.
This is more than we ever seen in terms of upholding a Bible.
Well, wonderful.
They will never hold us a Bible.
Pastor, you and Jeffrey, or you and Vincent, should take the Bibles out one by one, and where it says to from, on the from part, put your names on the dedication page.
Okay.
Come on.
See, you let us do that, huh?
Okay.
Okay. So put the pastor's name here. Mm-hmm.
So by.
To by. Me and Benson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks. So.
Okay.
All right, it would be nice, or you and Joffrey, or just you. If you and Vincent were sitting up there,
yeah.
After I give them the Bible, they could give it over to you, and you could do it right there in front of everybody, or you could do it ahead of time.
Would not put our names ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put their names in at
the top. Yeah, I think that would be nice.
Okay, we'll do that.
Anybody else?
Recognizing leaders. To put the compact sponge components.
Oh, good.
We have plenty of these.
Mm-hmm.
We have 7 choices represented here.
We're doing great.
The worship people can do for 30 minutes, can they?
Oh, yeah. Listen. Dan asked, how would he know what time he could quit? And I said, because me and about 100 people are going to walk into your tent and sit down. that'll be easy. Ask him to bring a piece of chicken with him when he comes.
I don't
see any chicken. I'm just teasing. I would not ask you to shout that down.
Come with your food.
This has been a great conference. A great ending.
Great ending.
Mm-hmm. With each of the groups, there has been a down day. But that's to be expected. Any event will have kind of off days or off things. and you can survive one or two. Because the guys have worked hard at making this an American week. So I'm real proud of them. I mean, if I asked a team of Americans to create a ministry experience in which 11 Kenyan pastors would feel comfortable with, it would be very difficult. Joffrey!
Hey.
How are you, sir?
Move.
Yes, you can move my briefcase there.
And there's some very nice Bibles here. How many parts do you have? Roughly how many do you have? About six, right? Six, seven. Okay, if you don't have good videos, but you would get good videos. So you can support for six, nine Bibles, so maybe seven. And then if you run out of them now, I can pull out the other part of the shelf.
We won't run out. No, you won't do that. Bill, Joffrey, may I please ask you to hand me that Counseling King reference?
That's a good Bible, too.
That's a good Bible. We'll bring that one. And Joffrey, if I could please ask you, there's another box right there. That's also a good Bible. Now, we're not giving away your things, Dr. McCullway. We're giving you things. So that's going in the wrong direction.
Okay.
And Joffrey, could I ask you before we get chicken run grease on that nice Bible, if you could put that back in the box, please?
Now, Joffrey, how many cards do you have here? Seven or eight? No more than 15. Not more than 15. But this one, as a group from Life Street, from us, come on.
Yeah, that will keep the pages of the Bible from being wrinkled up. And then we'll put them
on. I'm going to suggest directly here to use each church as a church, as a document. This is a church. So you ask the church to come forward, you give them a strong confidence, and encourage them to give to the library. Approximately 4 stories.
persona hasn't heard this ministry yet, but it's 17. And,
there are over there some boxed nice Bibles. They're not study Bibles, but they would be kind of a second tier Bible. Why don't you show Dr. McCauley that?
This one?
Yeah, show that. Okay. Yeah, I think that's a good idea. And some more. There's three more, and then there's a couple. Another Thompson chain reference. These just are not in boxes, but they are very nicely bound. So, and these are more of a, see this thin line?
Uh-huh.
It's very nice little bind.
Mm-hmm. Maybe some left
over. Mm-hmm. Go in there first. That's what I was thinking. Then we have some more of these four translations. But we haven't given these to the staff yet, have we?
No.
We'll save them.
Have you put a different thing?
Well, no. I meant the evening.
Ah. Okay. We can save those.
Yeah, we'll take those to the office.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Yeah. We'll take those out to the, if you think they would make use of them. Okay. The navigator step. We'll allow the Mike and Marty to let us can write a message, you know, when we have the message writing time. Okay. I'm giving away all your books, Doctor, but more are coming.
If you ask infants, if a teacher has a graduate today to have a treat, if you ask one more food, and the food three times, and you are so good, you can take any other choice.
And you've got another team coming with boxes.
Yeah. And the other is the practice.
Yeah.
So that's what this product will.
The guy said, where did all those books go? And I said, well, is this a storage unit over here? You know, do they have to, does Dr. McCauley have to check them out? Oh, no. They're being pressed into service for the in the name of the Lord. That's where they are.
say, needs to come up here and relieve the international director. Spencer knows everything. How are you? Anthony. Ignatius. I know one's Anthony and one's Ignatius. Ah, for the Pope.
Yep.
It was the Pope named Ignatius. Well, but he's the first one, right? The first King in Ignatius. Hello, hi, Lily. How are you? God bless you.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi.
Are we getting tea?
Yeah, kind of.
Oh, no, a pin pointing his finger.
Yes, having one thing to say.
I believe that.
I feel small but important thing.
I believe that.
What else you believe?
So far, everything you've said has a ring of truth
everything,
to it.
I do everything you believe. I believe everything you do.
Yes, yeah, that's right. Speak to me, then.
Or may I just smile?
Well, I will be disoriented. If you smile, it will be very disoriented.
There's a way to get this cards, number verse cards.
Ah, from Bupe.
Oh, really?
I think so. Excuse me.
Does this get a card to this table?
Ah, Bupe's going to do it. You could go up there. I think Stanley's doing it now.
Oh,
I have to go take pictures. I'm starving to death.
This trip
out. No, no.
You have a
drink.
You want me to take a plate
out? Nope. You just head on that one.
heard the topic I just find most of that, my question especially.
class because I had known as a sort of undisciplined, not real self-control person, so I figured God had something more. He wanted to teach me on this because he wanted me to be studying it. The Greek word for being capable of self-control is S-A-T-H-R-O-N-S-E-T-H-R-O-N-S-E-T-H-R-O-N-S-E-T-H-R-O-N-S-E-T-H-R-O-N-S-E-T-H-R-O-N-S-E-T-H-R-O-N-S-E-T-H-R-O-N-S-E-T-H-R-O-N-S-E-T-H-R-O-N-S-E-T-H-R-O-N-S-E-T-H-R-O-N-S-E-T-H-R-O-N-S-E-T-H-R-O-N-S-E-T-H-R-O-N-S-E-T-H-R-O-N-S-E-T-H-R-O-N-S-E-T-H-R-O-N-S-E-T-H-R-O-N-S-E-T-H-R-O-N-S-E-T-H-R-O-N-S-E-T-H-R-O-N-S-E-T-H-R-O-N-S-E-T-H-R-O-N-S-E-T-H-R-O-N-S-E-T-H-R-O-N-S-E-T-H-R-O-N-S-E-T-
Oh, and from Zungu, this is hello.
In Africa?
It's come, yeah.
Hello, you speak.
Oh, this is hello. Mm-hmm. This is come.
Oh,
so it can be like this, or.
Right,
but this is the friendly. This is a more formal, you know, the queen.
Come,
yeah, come would be this.
But for us, I think it's really cool.
Yeah, but yeah. This is hi.
Which country is it?
America, Houston, Texas.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, God bless you.
Okay.
Bye-bye. AIG.
AIG.
Insurance company. It is. Insurance. American. Kansas.
Jumbo.
Never seen so much talking. Stick around. That's my middle name. Copying.
I'm
my
Nigerian. Okay, to make this full talk so that I have it
was just telling me you have a little countdown.
Okay. Do you want me to go get you all a couple of plates?
No.
Really, yes.
Oh, you did. Did you get
I did, but I had my Linky chicken.
You can have some more.
I
see. Both of you.
Oh, spasiba.
Can both of get you more chicken?
Can I have you go down and see?
No, this will do it. This will do it. Thank you, darling.
Back in your workshops.
Yeah.
That's what you want.
Are you going to sign up here or downstairs? Whatever you do is the right thing. Who's got the flyer?
The
Doctor Who. Do you think I've overdone it?
No.
Oh, God.
No, I think it's time.
Well, my goal was for them to think. Most people will go away with an impression. They won't really remember anything. And my goal is for them to think, you know, the navigators, they are really into the word and evangelism. I should get them in my church.
Okay. So, what was the last session? How to comment.
Okay.
We only invite the leaders of Bible study groups when we already
ministered. Oh, we already ministered. Okay, well, great.
I think one of the things you could do is emphasize the fact that they are getting God's word. You know, for the purpose of, you know, for them, for their own growth.
Okay.
When they need to advance the gospel.
Okay.
And, you know, to be, not to rearrange God's kingdom, but to advance it.
I can do that.
Yep.
The my donor and prayer base, Sam's age, under 35, love real-time emails.
Oh, is this our first name?
In fact, that's what they call them, real-time. And they want me to do live feeds. I told them, it's not practical.
You had a real trust meeting.
Yeah. So they said, boy, John, you know, I would set my alarm at 2 a.m. for a live feed. I said, well, no, but I will send them to you. So there are guys, you know, who will have their computers on, and it'll go bing when the mail gets in, and they'll get out.
Yes, I'm teaching up for that. We need a normal teaching that have a different kind of that connects to Skype from the computer.
Mm-hmm.
And tell people you can change this.
Yeah, live.
Yeah. I like the idea. The more thing about it, the more I like it. Okay.
labor of attention?
Of course. Here you go. Spasiba, yes. Yeah. Yeah, spasiba. But not placebo.
That's because I need to write his name to his own hand.
Who?
That's
no. No. And below that, put somewhere rock the navigators.
Okay.
Stanley McCall with : the navigators, or something so they will associate with you. That I can peel off my sticker, but they can't peel off that.
Still won't peel off.
Slava Bogo.
You have 7 Bibles. 7 big Bibles.
Mm-hmm.
More Bibles.
And then you can pass it to Joffrey, who can write the on. Below that.
Okay. How much is today?
It's 9:22. Or 22:907.
Uh-huh. And what is the occasion today?
You can put doctrine conference or equipping conference or pastor's conference or leadership conference. Okay? Whatever you put is the right thing.
Okay. So do you have that?
Yeah, and they need to be here. Not names of pastors who aren't here. How you doing, honey?
Great.
Okay, look down. Look down, you're working. Yeah, Blue Bay. Oh, that's great. Want everybody to know how wonderful my wife is.
I came in on the end of it.
You get paid, Bouquet. For her, it's slave labor. And you can take my last clean air session off if you need to. They've heard me twice.
No, nothing will be okay.
Okay, it's up to you. I'm very teachable.
So, really,
what on the other side. What you need to do right now, move the stick about to the fence, get a job to get one song going.
It will, won't it?
Now, in handing this over, I'd like to say that we have a few days from West Community International, and that then I'm very happy to hand it
over. Oh, okay. Oh, of course. Whatever you do is the right thing.
Preaching.
Me too. And Raj will not be happy. Because he wants me to have more handouts than I've been handing out.
That's okay. The goal of life is not to make people happy. Hey, Aaron.
Then,
hey.
What do you need for that?
I was wondering if this page would be distributed on paper.
Yes, everybody at this conference is in direct contact with the navigators. So what they'll do is they will give your handouts to the ministry leaders who will then distribute them to the people who came. They see them every week. Be like in a weekday Bible study.
This week, these are some of the leaders from churches where we minister. And next year, we'll have a conference with the people in Bible studies. These are just all the leaders. We accept the Christ at that conference. And if you can hear, maybe every man. At this point in time, I can't presume. If the board, you are not three board members right here, if the board agrees.
Well, first thing the board has to get an invitation.
Yes.
Okay. They can't have me every year.
We can have your brother come over, Rob.
Yeah, he would do a great job. I would recommend him.
Okay, that's him, John. Need to be ready for us in the next 5 minutes.
Okay. In that case, we should send these. My guess is that this will all back up. But we can try. Yeah. Yeah, we're going to have another one made in the USA. I'm going to take a picture of it and show it to them.
find.
Okay. I'm going to go use the restroom, then I'll walk downstairs with you. In 5 minutes. Yeah. Errol, would you help us carry some things downstairs? Okay, we'll need you to help us, please. Do you have a box? Something for you. Yes, we can. Sweetheart, we have to go.
Okay.
He's going to bring all the fish stuff down to us. We'll just leave that, darling.
I'll
take care of it. Lupe, we'll bring it down.
Okay.
Yes, please. You're a free man. Yeah, that'll be one of the documents. Yes. But not a free agent. It's just different. Beautiful. Not a free agent. You've been set free from Satan, but not set free from your own devices.
You're
the mic holder.
teacher. Well, can you come to this plenary session?
Amen.
And without much ado, I'd like to welcome John Mahon to continue. And we can go from there. Karibu. John.
Ah. Also, I specify. Thank you. I don't speak Swahili. You don't speak Russian. But we'll preach without an interpreter in English. How's that? All right? Okay. We have looked at the imperative of preaching and teaching sound doctrine. We have looked at the only source we have of spiritual revelation and doctrine. And now we will look at the role of sound doctrine in personal evangelism. The role of sound doctrine in personal evangelism.